Hi everyone, thank you for coming. My name is Shlomi Noach, and this session is about SkivaDiff. This is a Vitess library for in-memory schema analysis, validation, normalization, diffing, and manipulation. So this is a mouthful. We're going to mostly concentrate around the idea of the diff, given to tables or to schema, to get the semantic diff that transforms from one schema to the other. And these could be alter tables, create table, or drop view, whatever it takes to get from here to there. And what I want to do is to walk through what it takes for common schema, for schema diff to get to that, to be able to do that. And mostly concentrate around the idea of the diff and consider a few things that we don't normally think about when we say diff. Well, what does it take to get a diff? What is the implication of the diff? Is it applicable, etc.? So we'll go beyond, a little bit beyond the diff. And mostly I want to show you how you can take schema diff back home, back to work, to the office, and apply very interesting things with it, either directly programmatically or through command line and tooling. All right. My name is Shlomi. I'm a Vitess maintainer. I've authored a bunch of open source tools, and specifically I've been around the schema management zone for like 15 years now in different capacities and different aspects. I'm with PlanetScale. PlanetScale offers a massive scale database as a service, and one of the features or offering of PlanetScale is the idea of branching. You have production branch, you can create your local branch where you are isolated from production, you can do whatever you want, change your schema, whatever, and at the end, issue a deploy request, which is like a GitHub pull request, right? And this is where we look at the production schema, we look at your schema, and we say, okay, this is the diff, or what does it take to move from here to there? And we've done many, 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 many tens of thousands of schema deployments. Our customers are doing that many deployments in production. So this is like the main driver and validator for schema diff. But PlanetScale is built on top of Vitess, and schema diff is a Vitess library. So PlanetScale is just a user of this library. Vitess is a CNCF graduate project. It's hard to describe in one sentence, but massive scale sharding clustering solution on top of MySQL. The library schema diff, Vitess uses it internally also for two different places. But we will talk about schema diff just in general. We do develop schema diff, even though it's within Vitess. You can use it, and we make sure to have the minimal set of dependencies in schema diff. So if you import it, you don't need to really import the entire gigantic code base for Vitess. You'll get a more minimal dependency tree. All right, so the most important thing to say about schema diff is that it was designed to be fully in memory, fully Golang, no external dependencies, specifically no MySQL. So we should be able to somehow diff two tables, two schemas, by text, by maybe importing from database. But by the time schema diff sees this, it doesn't know anything about MySQL. It just knows here's a text or here's a set of statements. This affects everything that we're going to talk about because we lose a lot of information, right? The traditional ways to go to information schema if you want to analyze something. What are the keys? What are the columns? You go to the statistics table, you go to the tables or columns table in information schema, and you gather your data. Here, we're going to have to need a different approach, and that different approach is going to be very powerful. As we'll see later, we can get superpowers with that. All right. I will show a lot of code. Mostly, you don't need to parse it. You don't need to read it. No need to worry about. I just want it to be available for you on the slides when you get back home. Schema diff does work on MySQL 8 and 8.4. We don't support other flavors and not looking to support them. All right. So given a text or two texts, right? We have two create tables or schemas. We want to be able to diff them. It first begins with me being able to understand the text. And the first step for that is the parser. We need to be able to parse the text. And thankfully, Vitess, no surprise, understands not only the MySQL protocol as mentioned before, but also the MySQL syntax and can parse any MySQL compliant, almost any MySQL compliant text. So the ESQL parser library is one of the most fundamental libraries in Vitess. And it's a classic AST, abstract syntax tree parser. So given some text, I expect SQL parser to return a formal representation of whatever query is expressed in that text. So for example, if my query was a create table, then I expect the parser to return an object that is the structure of create table. And it kind of represents, yes, temporary, not temporary, yes, if it exists, not exists. Right? It's a more formal representation of the syntax. Specifically, inside here, we have table spec. Table spec is yet another construct where you can see all the columns, all the indexes, all the constraints, table options, etc. If we look at column definition, it has a name, it has a type. The type is yet another structure where you actually get like, the length, the character set, whatever, all the properties of the column. So as you can see, this is the abstract syntax tree, right? You begin with some root, which is like the create table in this example, and then it goes down and down and down and drills into the particulars. That's one part of SQL parser. The second part is exporting, right? So I can take any statement or any such construct, sorry, and or any sub-construct and export it into a string. So far so good? Great. Parsing is not nearly enough to be able to really understand the schema. The next part is normalization. If you take a look at these two queries, these two tables, they look different, but these two tables are identical. Primary key can be defined in different ways, right? The user gives the text, right? I can't control what the user gives, but they can define it like this or this. Uppercase, lowercase, doesn't matter. 11, doesn't matter. If the column defaults now, it's the same if you don't define it at all, right? In MySQL 8.0 and above, this is the default character set. So if that's the default character set, I can either define it or not define it. So it's all equal, and I need a way to decide what it is that I'm comparing. So the second part in SchemaDiff is normalization, and SchemaDiff chooses, it uses, reads the query, normalizes stuff, strips down stuff that, like I mentioned before, this example, and exports it back, or can export it back with the parser into the most minimalistic representation it can. It's still not nearly enough, because next comes validation. The parser can give me syntax errors, but take a look at this table. It is perfectly valid syntax-wise, but it's completely meaningless. It's just not a realistic table. Two different primary keys, key over a non-existing column, a foreign key constraint that has a different number of columns referenced and referencing. Right, this is not a valid table. So SchemaDiff needs to go an extra mile and now validate the design of the table or of the schema. Essentially doing what MySQL does, but in memory programmatically in Golang in Vitess, which it does. So we validate existence of columns and foreign keys and all that it takes, but not only in the table scope, but also in the entire schema scope. You may be aware that this sequence of steps is valid in MySQL. You can create a table on which a view depends on. And you will only find out that the schema is broken when you try to select from the view or export and import it. In a similar way, although it takes more effort, you can break foreign keys dependencies in MySQL. So SchemaDiff is also about validating cross-table or cross-view dependencies, checking that foreign keys do exist. There is an index covering the columns in the reference table, and the column type matches that between the tables, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it's really a lot of heavyweight work to reapply the same checks that MySQL would do for you. Of course, if you go the information schema way, it's easier. You do show create table. I mean, if MySQL was happy to allow the table to exist, you don't need to do all these things. So it's easier, and this is more difficult. And still it pays off. All right, so now that we are able to parse, normalize, and validate, I'm now finally able to get a text, and from that text to get a create statement or a sequence of create statements, which I can iterate and export or do whatever I like. Which finally brings us to the diff, except, wait, there's a slide before. if you're not doing Golang and you're asking yourself, I can't use this because I'm doing Python, Java, whatever, we do have a thin wrapper open source Apache 2 command line tool called SchemaDiff, which gives some bare essentials of the SchemaDiff library. You can run it from the command line. For example, this is how I load a file, a schema file. You can load from a database, etc. And I'll show a couple more examples later on. All right, so now we're good to discuss the diff. I've showed you earlier the table spec, right, where we have the list of columns, indexes, and constraints, etc. You can kind of begin to understand how this works programmatically. If I have two of these, and one table has a list of six columns, and the other has a list of seven columns, well, there's probably an add column embedded in this diff, right? Of course, it's more nuanced, right? You need to check the columns, which one is being added. You need to check the names, etc. There's really a lot of nuances. The order of columns really matters when you're differentiating between two tables, right? Because if the order the order is different, we need to do like alter table, modify column after this, or first, etc. But the order of indexes doesn't matter. It has zero impact on your schema design. Similarly for constraints, the order doesn't matter. However, if you compare the names, then of course the names of columns are super important, right? And the same for indexes, because you might be using force index or use index statements, so the name has a meaning. Again, not for constraints. So it's really, really very nuanced. And there's a myriad of checks that we do when diffing to just make sure we're doing the right thing and not producing unnecessarily changes. So far, so good? Generally speaking, everything I'm going to say today is nuanced, has nuances, except for the things that don't. So feel free to heckle me later on, and I'll explain where the nuances lie. All right. So we're obviously not going to look into the entire code that does the diff, but we get the idea. And so with SchemaDiff, I'm able to compare, for example, two tables or entire schemas and get a diff or a list of diffs that I can then range over, iterate, and print out to standard output. This will be the diff. So far, so good? Cool. Same with the command line tool. You can do that. Same thing, just wrapped up nicely here. All right. The next thing is that the diff itself is a formal entity in SchemaDiff. Just like the parsed query is a formal entity, so is the diff. The diff that I get back says, what's the entity? What's the table name or view name, whatever it is? What does the from look like, and what does the to look like? What is the SQL parser statement that this diff describes looks like? What does the diff looks like as a text, right? So there's a gazillion building blocks to the diff itself. So before we move on, so now that we've reached the diff, I want to talk a lot beyond the diff. But before that, I want to give you a few cool things, right? Really interesting things you can do, and we do with Schemadiff. So to begin with, I want to introduce you to the schema, to the SQL parser walk function. Walk is a visitor design pattern function, right? It's a function that visits every element in your tree. And for every element, it allows you to do something. And this is a powerful tool for linting your schema, linting your changes, checking for stuff that you disapprove of, right? Manipulating, cloning. I'll give you an example. I'm diffing two schemas. There's a list of changes. This could be alter table, create view, drop view, whatever. I'm going one by one. I'm walking the changes. For every change, I'm checking, is this a change a drop table, or is there a drop table within the change? Is this change a drop column, or it contains a drop column? If yes, this is a bit of a dangerous situation. This is risky, right? This is a diff that has danger inside. We actually do that in planet scale, right? When a user drops a table, drops a column, it's their right. They're allowed to drop a table, drop a column, and do a deploy request. But we put like big red letters, hey, that's fine, you're good. We don't want to alarm you, but just so you know, you might lose data as a result of this deployment, right? So this is a way of linting the diff. You can think of other ways of linting schemas, like make sure every schema has a primary key. Or is there a foreign key? Do you allow foreign keys in your schemas? Yes or no? Do you allow cascading foreign keys? So you can really drill down to the details. And it's easy to do that with schemadiff programmatically. Granted, these examples are also easily achievable with just a simple regular expression or a substring search. That's fine. But there are more interesting. Just the other days, Lefred mentioned in the Belgian pre-Fosden days, the idea to lint an index, Jean-François was also in the discussion, that the last part of the of a secondary index shouldn't be a prefix of a column indexed by the primary key, right? It's those crazy things that they require a lot more semantics to handle and are easily achievable in schemadiff. I can write that in a few minutes plus testing, of course, but it's kind of easy to do here. So far, so good? All right. How about the diff itself? Why do we need the diff? So three very trivial examples. One is, of course, I'm deploying to production, right? I'm working at GitHub. I've designed some changes to my tables. I want to ship that to production. My code is in Git. I want to somehow make production look like my Git code. So we need to be able to compare production with my Git data and then apply those changes. Classic. Some environments are not easily deployable, like your testing environment, staging environment, etc. And so maybe you don't have the automated tooling. You just want to know that your testing environment really looks like production right now, right? It's just for you. You pull the schema from production, you look into your testing deployment, you do the diff. Or third option, a tool like Orchestrator has a backend database. It deploys itself, its backend database. You don't need to deploy it on its behalf. You just run the next version of Orchestrator and it deploys its own backend tables. The same actually happens with Vitess. Vitess not only allows users to access massively sharded databases and schemas in their own design, it also rides the idea that it runs MySQL to run some internal management tables in a specialized schema, the sidecar, the underscore VT schema, where it persists stuff like workflows, schema migrations, even heartbeats. So as Vitess starts up, it reads its own schema definition from code. It looks into whatever it is that it finds or does not find in the backend table. And if there are necessary changes, it applies them upon startup before opening connections. Make sense? Cool. Let's go beyond getting the diff. So the next weird step is that schema diff lets you apply the changes in memory. So we have a schema, we parsed the schema, we validated it. We got a diff from somewhere, maybe compared to another schema. And then schema diff lets you apply that diff onto your schema, effectively running a schema change in memory on a non-existing table because it's in memory. Why? Why would we need to do that? So this is very powerful, and it powers at least two very important things that we do, one in Vitesse, one in PlanetScale. I'll talk about just one of them, the one in, well, it's useful for everyone, let's say, put it like that. So getting the list of statements from a diff is not enough. If you compare two schemas and you tell me, oh, you need to create that table, drop that table, modify that view, that is not enough. There is not enough information in that output because order matters, or a valid sequence matters. If you create table and create view, that depends on that table. Of course, you need to first create the table and then create the view. If you want to drop the two, if you want to do it right, you should first drop the table, then drop the view. With foreign keys, there's a myriad of other operations that you absolutely have to do in the right order, or else it will fail. Some sequences will fail, right? So now we want to find a valid sequence. Not only do tables and views and foreign keys create dependencies in your schema, the changes to those tables and views in the diff, these changes themselves have dependency tree, have a dependency tree, right? So we need to figure out the tree. A naive solution would be to try all the permutations of all the changes, right? If you were on your MySQL server, you were just trying to run a query, oh, that doesn't run. Let me run the second one. Oh, okay, this one. Oh, let me try the first one again. But with SchemaDiff, you can do something in memory because we know SchemaDiff is able to validate a schema and it knows how to apply a change. So let's imagine that I take a schema in SchemaDiff and apply this change. Does it work? Yes, good. Does this work? Yes, good. Does this work? No, because maybe this depends on another table. I don't know. We revert back to the previous schema in memory and try the next one, or try the next one. Worst case scenario, actually, this is really terrible. It's the permutation of seven operations, the factorial of seven. That's a lot of operations. SchemaDiff is smarter than that, not that naive. It can identify which diffs could potentially be conflicting and which do not. So it can reduce this factorial of seven into factorial of three times factorial of two times one, so it's a lot smaller. So SchemaDiff is able to try different permutations and tell you, okay, of these changes, there is this specific order with which you should apply the changes, or give you an error if there is no such order. Okay, so far? Cool. So we're talking about now ordering diffs. So you can get a list of ordered diffs programmatically or through the command line. I want to skip some other examples and just now mention why we choose to do that in memory. Because if a user has 1,000 tables and they change 10 of those tables, then using MySQL information schema, I would need to scan 1,000 tables times two, because I would need to first apply the new 1,000 table schema and then compare 1,000 with 1,000, reading information schema for all these tables, only to find, oh, that only really 10 tables are changed. But then how do I figure the order? Because if I'm dependent on MySQL, I would need to actually apply alter tables and create tables and drop tables. And if I had to do that, permutations on a live server or even in Docker or whatever, it would just take time. It takes time. We know it takes time, like multi-minute time. Whereas with SchemaDiff, we can handle these numbers in sub-second and not a lot of memory. A few megabytes, a few tens of megabytes of memory in bad conditions. So that's really useful to us. I only have like a few minutes?
Five.
Perfect. So, again, skipping some features, but I want to further discuss that even that ordered diff is not enough. It still does not guarantee success of the migration. We've ordered everything. The sequence looks correct. We're applying an alter table, and it breaks. Why is that? There could be multiple conditions. I could be reducing data scope, for example. I could be changing a column from int to bigint unsigned. It's bigger on the positive side, but if I have the value of -1, this migration will fail. It should fail, right? I hope it will fail. If I'm turning a nullable column to not null, forward, that's fine, but if you want to come back, the fact that you removed unique constraint means that coming back, you re-add a unique constraint. So that's something we want to know ahead of time. More, even more, SchemaDiff can predict, not fully, there are stuff that are stateful, can predict ahead of time whether a migration or a set of changes are eligible for instant DDL. Today, you will just try it. You will write alter table, oh, I want to run it only if it's instant. You will write alter table, blah, 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 algorithm equals instant. And if it's not instantable, it will fail. But you will have to try it, right? How can you know it? SchemaDiff will tell you this is eligible for online DDL. Explain again, sorry. Correct. If you have minor versions, yes. So, correct. Correct. So SchemaDiff is minor version aware, right? It knows what was added in what version. Okay, I'm basically out of time, so there's more for this, but I want to leave a couple minutes for questions if I can. Thank you.